Welcome back to the Cooking Barker Podcast with our host, Adam and Tiny. They'll be talking about bars, restaurants, hospitality industry, what you didn't know, what you might want to know, and now on with today's subject.
Hey, Tiny, what's up, man?
Good morning.
Well, it's getting darker, so it always feels like morning or night. Right? I don't even know what to do.
I get up, it's dark. I go to bed, it's dark.
Well, good to see you again, my friend.
Nice seeing you. You're looking well.
Am I?
Yeah. Well, you look a lot less de-stressed.
Yeah, because I'm off.
You're even off. You're on vacation.
I'm on vacation, so I'm in a good-ass mood. I've been partying hard. I've been having fun. I've been doing good things. Life is beautiful. I put 25 cents into a stranger's parking meter last week, and that made me feel great.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
They were 1 minute off, and they're about to get a $50 ticket. Drop one in. Long short is, I am on vacation.
You are on vacation.
Yeah, I'm a nice person when I'm on vacation.
And very people, very seldom maybe has 25 cents dropping a meter nowadays.
You never know. Maybe that 25 cents would have also turned into a $50 ticket, and then they couldn't have fed their kid. You never know. So you see that 1 minute, you pop that quarter in because we can afford quarters.
That's right.
Now, we got a guest today.
Who do we have, Adam?
Oh, what was their title? Executive co-host. We got Holly Osha back in the business.
The voice of radio.
The voice of radio. In the face of radio. Face of TV, voice of radio.
All right.
Basically all the good things that we're not.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, well, welcome it's good back. To be back, guys.
How are you?
Wonderful.
What have you been doing with yourself these days?
Oh, just relaxing while I'm not working.
Seasonally closed.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. I bet your dogs are happy as shit.
Yes, they are. They're happy to sleep in the bed with me every night because they don't get to do that when I'm working.
I get to see your dogs looking at you like, I wish she was unemployed all the time.
Like, that's how this is so nice. I like it. So nice.
She still feeds us. And she doesn't have to leave at all. Life's great.
We go on walks every day now.
Every day. I jumped in the frozen lake yesterday.
Oh, my God.
It was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Loki literally did jump in the frozen lake.
Really?
Chasing a leaf that was on the ice.
he thought it was a critter, but it was a leaf. Like sliding across the ice, and he jumped through the ice.
Silly.
Not so smart.
Well.
I guess I've done that before.
Yeah, sure, too. Have you?
I've jumped in a frozen lake before.
Tell me the story, Tiny, about you jumping through the ice, chasing a leaf.
It was a dare, highly intoxicated, and a really beautiful looking lady.
That'll do it.
Combination that'll make some shit happen.
Dangerous things will happen on that one. Yeah.
I hit my head on the iceberg. I was floating.
You hit your head on an iceberg?
Yeah, it was springtime. Ice was floating around in the lake.
Oh my gosh!
And you jumped in?
I jumped in.
Smashed your head on the ice.
Yep.
You know what?
Didn't get hurt.
We all do dumb things. You know, we're all dogs, basically. Instinct.
It was the coldest 2 minutes in the water I've ever had in my life.
Oh, you lasted 2 whole minutes?
I jumped at the end of the dock. I had to get back.
It took 2 minutes. What are you drinking there, boss?
I'm sad to say, Jim Beam again.
I know, but it's different.
Oh, this is Jim Beam Black. 8-year-old. I'm feeling fancy today.
Oh,
it's an 8-year-old.
8-year-old Jim Beam. Okay, shout out to Jim Beam Black Label. Extra Age Bourbon.
Right.
I did take a little sample, and it was quite tasty.
Yeah, I'm feeling happy, so I want some extra love today.
Cool. Extra love.
What are you drinking, Holly?
I have been drinking Joyous Spirits. They're a craft cocktail. They do vodka, gin, tequila. I don't think they have any whiskey ones, but they are very low in sugar, low in carbs, really tasty.
So it's nice. it's like a seltzer, but without like the malt liquor?
It's actual
tequila or vodka or whatever in there?
Yep, sweet. Yep. It's not malt. They all generally have anywhere between a 5 and 8% alcohol content.
Can I have a sip of one?
You can.
I would love to try this beautiful thing. I already tried your whiskey.
Yep. You are just a trying fool today.
No, I'm trying everything this week.
Might as well cheers as long as we got everybody something in the hand.
Bong, bong. Bing, bing, bing.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We got glass, we got metal, we got aluminum. But yeah, I'm trying everything this week. That's really nice. What we're trying to do now is a podcast.
It's going to be tough.
No, I think we got a good one, though.
I think so.
We're sitting here in the world headquarters, which we haven't mentioned in a while.
Nope.
Yep, world headquarters. We're with Tiny. This Tiny and Adams podcast.
Yep, with the voice of radio.
And we have the voice and face.
We're so happy she's back. Now she has time.
Now people will actually listen to us because she's...
Right?
But not us.
Oh, my goodness.
But I want to ask you your story in life.
My story?
So...
You want to learn a little history about me?
Well, I want to know a little bit of history about you, and then I also want to know like what it takes to buy a restaurant. Start from, you've been in the kitchen, you've been a chef for your whole life.
Yes.
You worked in multiple places.
Tons of places.
And you ended up with your own diner.
Right. And so that's, there you go. That's all you need to know. I'm just kidding. No, I actually, when I first started cooking, I didn't want to own my own restaurant. It took me 30 some years to figure out that I was going to own my own restaurant. Long story short, for the why, is because one of my friends told me, he's like, you're getting too old, too grumpy to work for anybody else. So you better find your own place, maybe. And I'm like, no, I told him to go fuck off.
Of course you did.
I did. Fuck off. I was working at this one place at the time, and it was just bad management, and I couldn't handle it. I only worked there for 4 months. It was so bad, I worked for 4 months. So he called me up one day. He's like, hey, I got a place for you. It's cheap. It's ready to go. He's like, I wanted to buy it, but I can't. I'm like, I. No. Fuck off. Once again, told him to fuck off. So I'm about to work. And the owners came down. They said, hey, we found a chair for you for your office. And I said, I don't need a chair for my office. I want my floor fixed. Look at this chair. It's beautiful. Blah, blah, this, blah, blah. It's big. You know, it'll suit you. I said, my chair right now is fine. I don't need another chair. Well, I looked at the price. It was like $600 for the chair.
You told me that this was on our last podcast. You did tell the chair story.
Yeah,
chair
and I'm like, floor. No, I want the floor. I don't care about the chair. I'll sit on a piece of wood if I have to, but I want my floor fixed. Nope, they didn't do it. They brought a $12 thing from Menards, some sticky thingamajigs, and put on the floor. And I'm like, no.
Oh, the sticky vinyls?
Yeah, I'm like, no. No, thank you. So I called my friend up, and I said, hey, can I come down and stay at your house, like at the restaurant? So before then, way long before then, is that I always knew I wanted to be a cook because I'm really good at cooking. Just a little history of me.
Yeah.
You need a little history. That's what I want.
So now
we're going from the now to, this is like Back to the Future. Back to the Future. Doc.
Where's the DeLorean?
Yep.
All I have is a Toyota Highlander.
Oh, I got as a Dodge.
It feels like a DeLorean when you drive, though.
It's lack of power and really heavy.
Yes. And I feel like I'm going Back to the Future. But anyways. Yeah.
So, actually, yeah, one on restaurant wasn't even on my radar. Me and my best friend talked about it, but we never really did anything about it. So then I decided, well, I went to school, graduated, and then I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do everything I can in the restaurant. So I kind of had a little mental list. I want to work on a cruise ship. Did that. Wanted to work in a hotel. Did that. And then inside the hotel, that was number two, whatever it was. Then you had A, B, and C, like line cook, coal line cook, banquet cook, whatever else comes in that. So I did all that. And I did regular hotel. I did high-end hotels. I did country clubs, golf courses.
You worked on the boat.
I worked on a boat. I mean, I did everything I could do. I tried to travel around the United States, learn more about each region of cooking. And then if I could combine other cooks, like Asian people, how do you cook their food?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Asian food is really simple, but very difficult to do. Because you can have five ingredients, like five different sizes and spices. You can just change a little of this and a little of that, and you have 30 different dishes.
Completely different dishes.
Completely different. Yeah. You're like, this is fucking great.
I love cooking.
You know, it is so delicious. It's so simple, but yet so complex.
Yeah, right.
You know, then on the Southwestern. So I did all that, learned this, learned that. And then I got into managing it. I really took my time to get into, I was a sous chef early, but actually to be the chef of the hotel or chef of this, I actually waited a long time.
Yeah.
Because I was having, really know if I wanted, it's always nice to have that safety net behind you. The chef, I fucked up.
Right.
You know, I'm still yelled at, but the chef's behind
me. Chef fired first.
Yeah, So
sous chef's safe.
The sous chef's kind of safe. It's a little safe zone, The middle management, you do a lot of work, you get a lot of your ass kicked. It's kind of safe.
And you still got to do management stuff as a sous chef.
Yeah.
And then, you're still doing, some paperwork and some shit.
Yep.
People in my life that I've known as sous chefs, they still have that management responsibility.
And so you did that,
you learned that.
And then I learned how the chef works. The one chef was really cool. And I worked with him, and he's like, anything on the desk you can look at. Anything in the drawers, you can't go into. So if it's on the desk, you can look at it. I'm like, cool, all right. So I'd go and talk to him, and I'm like, oh, what's that piece of paper? This is a requisition, blah, blah, And so he'd go through everything, how he planned out buying 3 months worth of soap for the dish machine, how it worked each season, blah, blah. So he'd tell me stuff, this, that, the other thing, all kinds of weird crap that you didn't really know. That's just how to run a restaurant.
That's working at a restaurant.
Working at a restaurant or hotel.
Yeah.
And then how to figure out your labor costs, real labor costs and stuff. It was quite interesting.
And that's a lot of the shit that a lot of people, even you or me or fucking Erica or whoever, a lot of people in my life right now are like, we love the business, but what do we need to do? So how'd you transition? I guess my question would be, you finally pulled the plug and said, I'm going to do my own thing. And was it just because, like,
you I think I was in a hard spot. I think it's just because I really didn't want to work for anybody. And I really, the ones I was working for at the moment, they were just not right. I didn't want to go in the corporate world. I wanted to have a, you know, so I couldn't really, I couldn't find anything like in a small enough, big enough to support me to be, so I could be happy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I can do it. And honestly, it was, came down here. I looked at the place. I called the banker. I said, I have X amount of money I can put down. What do I need? He said, well, we need to have a bit, like a little business plan. Business plan. What do you think? This, that, the other thing. And some numbers and blah, blah. All right, I can do that. I mean, simple. I've worked enough restaurants. I've done enough X amount of customers, X amount of minutes, all this other stuff you'd look at. I'm like, I could do that. So I wrote out a business plan. Me and my friend, they helped me out. I always need a secretary because I'm not really good at some stuff.
We all need help in life.
Yep. And then I came down and looked at it one more time just to figure out what I could do. And the guy, oh, we diggered on the price a little bit, and he said, sure. So I bought it.
Cool.
And I was like, whoa. But then I found out like a lot of people, other people were looking at the restaurant, but I kind of...
Including me.
Took it right out of them.
That was funny, because they had
a... What the hell?
I actually was looking at it, too.
I don't know. I guess I was pre-approved and had everything right in
and
order.
And I am less qualified than you, so I'm glad you got it. But but I guess, yeah, so like, I want to go to the story of, let's just say, Holly here. Tomorrow she wants to buy this cafe, or not this cafe per se, but something similar. Because you kind of
hey, if she has the right price, everything's for sale.
But you got one man band. But like, what were your steps? So you had to go to the bank. You'd have a business.
I had to go to the bank, get the business plan. Well, first I called the guy. I looked at it, decided to like it, and kind of dictated on the price. Then called the bank and said, "Hey, I have X amount of money. What do I need to do?" He told me what to do, and he said, and then he was like, "Well, we've dealt with you for so long. You kind of pre approved." Because he looked at my finances, everything. He's like, yeah,
same bank.
Bank I've done for years. So he's like, yeah, you should be pre-approved as long as you have X amount to put down on it. I'm like, I do have that money. I can put down on it. All right, no problem then. So then I called the guy up and I said, hey, I can do it for that price. All right, let's do it. Done deal. Then I got off the phone. I said, what the fuck am I doing?
What the fuck did I just do?
What the hell the heck did I do?
That's funny. So now that you own the business.
So then I own the business. Well, then coming out here and I was like looking in here and I'm like, oh. And I knew... Because I took over an existing business. It's been here since the 80s.
Yep.
A couple different names. And I'm like, well, I got to change the name because I don't like having their name because I've heard different stories about those people.
Right.
You started your own thing. And that was, I think it was a genius idea.
I'm like, nope, I'm getting rid of it. So then I sat in here and by myself one day and I'm like, what am I going to do? Can't just keep the same walls or anything. So I got on my Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart this bitch up.
Oh my God.
You definitely did
that. I did. And it took me a little bit. And like, but it only took me one trip to Menards and the Sherwin-Williams and I had everything I needed. It's like, I went with my friend. He's like, only you would find everything he needed in one shopping trip.
When you set your brain to something, you do it.
It was just like, he's like, wow. And he didn't like the color at first. The time he came in, the second time, he's like, yeah, this will actually work.
So can I ask you a couple more questions?
Yeah, talk a lot.
Like 100%. Like I want this to be super educational for myself and for everyone else out there. But like, all right, so you bought the place, and I remember I was looking at the place mm-hmm. too. So like, I know what the price was.
Yep,
it was pretty good.
Yep.
But what do you like do for like? What's your insurance on a business? Like, let's just talk to.
Oh, there's
to
different the 20-year-old insurance too. Because out there.
What do you got for that?
Well, there's because I'm a business. So I got the business insurance. So if anything happens around here. It's more expensive to have business insurance because, you know, the people coming in, some stuff might happen to them. So you got that. Then if you have an employee and if you get paid and you have Social Security, you're not just paid on the table. You got to have a workman's comp insurance, which is something I knew, but like, wow, that's kind of expensive. Just even for me to have one employee and me. Like, that's kind of expensive, but not really expensive. It does pay off. If you have to use it, it does work.
Like any insurance, yeah.
And then one thing I didn't really know is like, first take over, you have to have it looked at. Have been approved so they can know the health department has to approve it. Well, that's a fee I didn't know. There's another fee if you want to get a liquor license, you got to get that fee. And if you want to hurry up, there's another fee for that. So there's a fee on top of the fee. Then you got your business license. So you can do it online or you can just do it yourself. I had a friend that was a lawyer, so he did it for me. So there's another fee. It's kind of all equals out.
Holly, you should become
and
a
then,
lawyer.
Never going to happen.
So now there's all these little fees are just like, I'm like, what? You know, then if you want, and I knew the sign was going to cost something, but all of a sudden the sign that I wanted all of a sudden doubled for outside. And I'm like going, okay. And then, of course, I bought a restaurant that is all used equipment. So the first week into it, you know, and I said, okay, I'm going to keep X amount of money. Besides, if something happens, I'm going to have a little backup. So I had extra amount of money behind me. So the first week I'm here cooking. You know, I'm trying to figure everything out because everything's new. So I'm trying to figure out where to put everything, how to have the flow of everything. and the menu, and all of a sudden I had two flat tops. Flat top went out.
Oh my gosh, of course.
So then I had a small flat top, and I was trying to work with that. So then I had to get a new flat top. I was like, well, I want to get a new flat top because I need more refrigerator space. So I got a chef's table, which is called a chef's stand table, whatever you call it. It has a refrigeration below it and all that. So I bought that, and I'm like, okay. So I'm just watching my money going, ching, ching, ching. And of course, you're new. And this place hasn't been open for a while. So all of a sudden, I'm like, people aren't coming in, or people coming in. Oh, Bob, you're open again. I'm like, I'm not Bob. You know?
You weren't Bob, yeah.
I'm not Bob. You know, there's a new sign. It says Tiny's Diner. Also, listening to the people's stories of what it was before and what I am now, and people are like, oh, we really liked his food, blah, blah, this. I'm like, well, try my food. You know, a couple of people didn't like my food, which is cool. I mean, it's fine. I can't please everybody.
We're at a small community, and we do not adapt to change very well.
No, they don't.
I didn't eat here before you owned this place, but I'm glad you own this place. I feel like your energy is great.
Yep.
I mean, Ralph. Ralph did not have a good reputation. You have a good reputation. But I guess my question, if I was just interviewing you right now, what would you tell a 25-year-old that wants to buy a diner like this?
It's harder than you think. One thing, you got to know, you have to be here a lot. Especially when it depends what size diner you want to do. I mean, I bought a small little diner. But if you buy a bigger place, the first year or two, you got to be there from open to close. Until you actually have somebody that you can trust. Your sous chef, your executive chef, or someone. Then you can trust that person. You have to have that trust. Otherwise, you have to be here all the time. You got to be seen. You got to watch them. Learn your customers. Like, I had to learn my customers what they liked, what they didn't like, how they liked it.
Learn the clientele.
So I kind of, like, adjusted my menu. Kind of really didn't adjust my menu. I adjusted how I did things. Oh, they didn't like that. Well, I'm going to do a little different then. Right. Keep them coming back.
Speed up your menu a little bit. You can do whatever.
Do this, quicker, do that.
But, like, you learn the demographics, too.
Like, learn the demographics, what people like.
Definitely here in Hayward, Sawyer County, the flavor profile is different than Minneapolis. The flavor profile is definitely different than in Duluth. You know what I mean? Like, or in South Carolina or in Milwaukee.
Do I want fancy food or do I want, like, mom-pa diner food?
I feel like up here we need mom and dad.
And I said, you know what? I want mom-pa diner food. I don't want the fancy food.
That's what people up here want.
Yeah. They're not, I mean,
another place right down the road that does fancier breakfast food. That's them. I'm going to stay away from them. I'm going to do my own thing.
Someone around here does fancy breakfast food?
So is it worth it? Okay, so you're Tiny. You own Tiny's Diner.
Yep.
Props to Tiny's Diner. It's actually great breakfast. If y'all ever in Hayward, Sawyer County, come eat here. Delicious. Now, we have a guest star on the show right now. Holly looks at Tiny and says, I want to buy a similar fucking thing. Are you going to tell her to do it or not?
Do it.
Do it.
It's fun.
Do it and do my research.
Yeah, do your research first. And then...
Can you be profitable with a two-person business? Was my next question, because you have, well, I mean, you're the one business owner.
I've been profitable. I mean,
you have one server, but, like, you know, your breakfast. Can you pull off a cafe in the world anywhere with a two-person or one-person show?
I don't see why not. I did it. Perfect. I've done it for 2 or 3.5 years. Which, I mean, COVID hit me hard, but I'm still surviving, still working.
Word.
I mean, I don't have money in the bank like I used to, but I still have money in the bank, so.
You're still surviving.
Still surviving.
And that's cool. So, like, I definitely want to interview, because I thought, like, there's a lot of cats that want to buy a restaurant. You basically said that it is much more expensive than it should be, and it's more difficult than you think it'll be, but it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the inspiration. If you're dedicated to this business.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are underlined that I never knew about, but now I'm like going, oh, crap, I wish I knew about that. But I guess if I did research a bit more, I might have learned more, but I didn't do the research. I just jumped in with head first into the iceberg.
Yep.
Titanic.
But I didn't sink.
You didn't sink.
I didn't sink.
Thankfully.
Yeah. It was the most invincible ship ever, but it sank.
Yep.
And that's the thing. See, so if I was going to do it tomorrow, what would you tell me? Go.
I would say research, but go. Then figure out your demographic, where you're at, what are you doing. Like, I wanted to switch my restaurant up to a lunch and dinner place because it was always breakfast. When I started looking around, there's no breakfast around here for 16 miles, basically.
That is true.
And then I learned a little bit afterwards. It's like, I'm on 77, and then there's Biak right across, 5 miles across from you. But that's Flowage people. Flowage people don't really come to 77.
It's true.
They're going
it's
to the next
one. They go to the other ones, the other places.
Yep.
So I'm like going, well, I guess I got to be a breakfast place. Wow. Crap. You know, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. I'll wake up early, and I don't like to, but I do it.
I'm not a morning person either.
But I love that you did that. Like, that's also really cool, too. Like, you didn't want, not want, you, for the first time, you owned your own joint.
Yep.
And you didn't want to be a breakfast joint.
No.
But you made that decision, like, this is the best thing for the area, and...
Yep, because otherwise it would be burger, burger, burger. Everybody has burgers around here, so...
Everybody's got burgers.
Everybody has burgers. Everybody has this, kind of, that, the other thing around here.
The menu is the same.
It's the same thing around here. So, if I came here after something really, really weird or something really, really different, what was that? What would that be?
You breakfast. Probably need right.
breakfast. Or you and breakfast is easy.
Like a supper club or something. Yeah. You know, like to do
which is our, there's a shit. Supper club right down the
there's
road.
There's a supper club right down the road, you know?
Right.
So,
but yeah, for your ease of, and money, like that's cool. No, that, that's
and breakfast is easy.
Inspiring to
and
everyone.
The best meal of the day, too.
Yeah.
Even if it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. People, and honestly, and I'm like, I do breakfast, I'll have lunch. So I had to start with like a bigger lunch, you know, good sized lunch menu, good sized breakfast menu. And I'm like, we do breakfast, lunch all day long, no matter what time it is. So we did it. And on the first with the first year, I'm going, nobody's really eating breakfast, lunch. Everybody's eating breakfast.
At lunch.
Breakfast. Yep. Breakfast. And if they did have lunch, it was like a burger. I'm like going, well, I'm going to get rid of 90% of my shit for lunch. Just do my burger and this and call it good.
Absolutely. That's and less that food was... cost that you have when there's like, what, maybe like 1 out of 10 people or
yeah.
a burger from the lunch menu?
Yeah.
Might as well just have breakfast.
Just might as well have breakfast. You know, like, screw it.
Oh, let me throw out a random question now. Because I just, we got a guest host here, and I'm pretending that someday you're going to buy a restaurant. Because
I would love to buy a restaurant one day.
Let's just
money talks.
Let's switch gears.
I don't have much of that yet.
But let me ask you, because you've been in the business and you own your own business.
Yep.
So this is a young, up-and-coming potential restaurateur, I think they call it.
Yep, restaurateur.
Or a food trucker. Yeah, eating a food truck. How'd it go? It's like the fucking food truck show.
Oh, my gosh.
They honk every time. Oh, yeah, food costs.
Yep.
What's your margin? Like, what do you... What,
breakfast is actually the easiest to do food costs. It depends if you want to get into, like, all organic or if you want to get into filled eggs or this, that. But if you just eat a good breakfast, you can run a 32% food cost really easily.
Oh, wow.
If not even cheaper than that.
So where I work... And not to call them out, but like where I work, we shoot for like a 28 food cost. But we also get complaints on because our burgers are fucking, they're a little, but we're a resort. It's different in
a
city versus
a resort. We are a resort.
We talked about that earlier. Like,
you're a little bit different than.
But yeah, but around the 30% range.
I just try to keep it around 30% and I'm just normal. Which is actually, which is better than most restaurants do in average nowadays.
All right, cool. I think there's a lot of people that don't know this business, just work in it, that. Those numbers never fucking clicked them.
They never think about those.
We work, like, you know what I mean? You didn't know any of those.
No, that was not something I even ever thought about in my entire life before.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that 30% range, 28, 30.
28, 30%. You know, it depends. I mean, I have a couple of dishes that I get like 15%.
Yeah, of course. Like, you have those.
I get those, the lost leaders, and I have those ones that just fill my pocket.
So that's a great term, too. Because I don't think a lot of people in this industry know the term lost leader.
I had never heard that term until you said it to me.
Yeah, so, lost leaders.
I told Erica about this. I'm going to tell you about it. There's a lost leader. It's the same reason Costco has a clearance on whatever the TV is. You got a $500 TV, and that's on sale for $200, but it's getting you in your store. So lost leader is a really actually cool conversation because Erica, who's been in the business, you've been in the business, I've been in the business. I didn't even learn that term till about 5 years ago. It's what gets you in the door.
Yep, gets you in the door.
And now you're going to buy the fries, you're going to buy the fucking wings, you're going to buy the appetizer, and you're actually taking a hit. Every time they order that sandwich, you lost money. But you're hoping they're going to get two Captain Cokes.
Exactly. You're hoping that they're going to get two rounds of drinks, an appetizer, like maybe
so
buy some apparel.
On your menu, you have probably one lost leader.
I think one lost leader and the ones that put money in my pocket.
Yeah, but that lost leader gets them in the door.
Yep.
You know you're taking a hit, but they're going to maybe get them. And lost leader is a super awesome fucking term to me that excites me because it's the real deal.
Yep.
That's what gets you in the door. Why do you think McDonald's has a dollar menu?
What do you think Target had the blue light specials?
Target, what do you go to?
Oh, my God.
That fucking little rail with
$1. As soon as you walk in the door, they had all those. I don't think that they set them up like that anymore.
But you know what, though? You came out with a pair of jeans. You know what I mean?
You walk into Walmart, you go there right before the cash register, there's that as seen on TV stuff, you know.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah.
It's how the logo
is. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I always stop at the as seen on TV section.
This chef knife is really cool, but it's like some TV thing. But like on the real, like, yeah, Lost Lady, anybody that's young in the business and wants to get in the business needs to learn that concept. Get them in the door, but then don't sell everything for cheap.
Nope.
What I've learned in the business too, don't have a lot of specials.
No.
Because then people only come on the special night.
I don't do specials. I think, and people are like, do you have no specials? I said, everything on the menu is special.
That's what we say. Yep. And it's all special.
Yeah. And if I, and it's my little restaurant, I don't have a huge refrigerator or freezer space. So if I buy stuff in to have a special, then if I don't sell it, do I sell it again tomorrow, next day? What do I do? What do I do with it? And then if I do, like some people are like, well, today is Taco Tuesday because we have tacos in the menu. So we just take them down for 50 cents. I don't want to. Why cheapen my food for one day? Then you're not going to come back for tacos on a Wednesday or a Thursday or something. You know you can come on Tuesday for cheaper.
Exactly. And actually, our owner, and no names mentioned, but she said she tried specials going in there the first 3 years of her life, and she realized that people only showed up for specials.
Yep, they would only come on those specific days for.
But that lowered her sales specials. For six more days.
Yeah. So there's no need to. There's no need to have. I mean, there is need in some places. Yes, there is. Specials.
It depends on where you're located.
Yeah.
It's all about location. Seriously, like our area is not a place to run, though, especially like later in the year. It's not, you can't run specials. Like, you don't know what business is going to look like.
You just got to put out quality food and be open.
Put out quality food, be open, and be cheerful.
Yeah, be open when you say you're open.
And just remember, people that listen to me right now and I say be cheerful, when you show up at 8 o'clock and I just open at 8:01, I'll never be cheerful.
But at 8:03, you will be.
No, 10 o'clock.
After two or three cups of coffee.
Two or three cups of coffee and a couple hours of waking
that's
up.
That's your own advertising right there.
Nope.
It's just what it is.
Bring me a cup of coffee with two shots of espresso and a shot of whiskey.
That's you at 8:03 right there.
That's a little devil duck.
You bought him a devil duck.
They did. Cute. So. Yeah, I mean, anybody can do it, I think. I hope. It can't be that hard. If I can do it, you can do it.
We got to do insurance, we got to do loans, we got to figure out expenses, and we have to have a business plan.
Yep.
That's what the starter needs, and you need to know your demographic.
Yep. That's what I would say.
Who helped you figure out how to make up your business plan? Is that something you already knew how to do?
Something I kind of knew how to do, because I'm going to school, then just...
Gotcha.
Just, okay. But I did call a friend that works in a... She helps people get jobs. She just works with college kids to get jobs.
Okay.
So she knows kind of that a little bit. So I called her, what do I have to do? Does it have to be the 30 pages? Or can I just do it in 5 pages? I give them some numbers here and tell them what I think. So no, just tell what you think and give them a few numbers here and there. Because he goes, you worked at Maggie's. So take your Maggie's numbers and put them in there. If you or, you know, count the seats, do what you think you do. Which I knew that, you know, times, it's like, usually people come and sit down, so it's 45 minutes time. They sit down and time to leave. It's like 45 minutes to an hour.
Roughly.
So I said, okay, and the restaurant's never ever full 100% time, so take that, do this, blah, blah. Run those numbers and then run different numbers, different philosophies and what it can cost. Then I kind of figured out how much it would cost to run per day. Take 30 days, this is how much insurance you need, this is how much this cost. So $250 a day takes for me to run my restaurant.
$250 a day?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because we were talking about this yesterday when I was
saying, and that's making a little bit of money, but not making very much at all.
Right.
But that's for you to not
die.
Be underwater.
Yep.
So those are actually really good numbers. So I was talking the other day, I was like, this was 5 years ago when I started working where I work, where we work. I mean, this eight probably now with wage increases.
Right.
For awesome people like you.
I'm sure it's
we're
higher.
Looking at probably $1,000 a day to break even.
Yeah, I worked in a restaurant, it was $2,000 a day.
To break even?
To break even.
To pay your employees, pay the bills and all that.
And in the wintertime, Sunday through Friday, Sunday through Thursday, we probably didn't do it.
And I feel like
the owner had a little bit of money in. We always said, we did $1.2 million on average for the year, but we made 50 cents out of the end of the year.
Right.
You know?
Great numbers. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
we did $1.2 million at the 60-seat restaurant. But we only made like 50 cents.
We made 50 cents.
Yeah.
And that's so crazy. And that's what I think this whole podcast was about. It's like, it's fucking way harder than you think. It's super fucking hard. If you don't know what you're doing and you know, even that book that I fucking quote to all of our new hires, you make 5 cents on the dollar in a restaurant business.
Yep.
5 cents after all expenses gone. So you got a $300 ticket. not even a buck, profit.
Yep.
A couple bucks, a $300 ticket. It's crazy as fuck, dude. So, but you pulled the trigger, you fucking did it, and like, yet you're being positive about it. Do it if you believe in it. But I feel like there's a lot of cats out there that are like, I really, oh yeah, oh, my own bar, my own hometown, and my, I want to buy my favorite restaurant in my own hometown. I don't think they understand that margin is not that
big. Yep.
And you got to have the right people. You got to have the right humans.
And I know seeing people that own a bar, and they give everything away. Oh, yeah. They're all like, hey, my friend, here, have this, or here, have that. Nah, nah.
Right.
And I have been known to give stuff away, but 90% of the time,
that's the biggest downfall.
I'm not giving away. I'm not drinking. I'm not drinking my own. Profit.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and that's one thing. And one thing that I see, first of all, most just like straight bars. I mean, they're not making nearly as much money as like a bar and restaurant would be making.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So for them to find someone that is trustworthy enough to not take their money and not give the booze away, which is also stealing money, like that.
Yep.
I don't know how you can find people that you trust. I mean, it would have to be someone that is, I would have to hire my little sister. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Even the people you do trust, sometimes they're like, they'll give the shit away, give away shit away. And I know I've been to bars and they're like, oh, you're tiny here. Have this. You know, well, I'm like, give them money. They're like, no. And the night's like, $20. I'm like, hey, definitely have my $20.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
But a lot of it's about trust. Like, so let's say you come into where we work.
Yep.
You kind of get a little bit.
Get a little bit, not much, but I'm.
But you know what though? When you get there a little bit,
it makes me happy.
But it makes you happy. But guess what? I actually do pay it out of my own pocket.
Yeah, we do actually. Yeah, well, that's what they should be doing. But,
yep.
And that's. I mean, that our owner.
Edit. Tiny edit.
That's a trust issue.
Yep.
She knows damn well that if I'm, you know, I'm cutting somebody a deal. It's because I want to out of my own fucking heart.
Yep. Exactly.
How do you find those fucking people? You don't.
No.
And that's the hardest part about a restaurant and bar, especially in a bar.
Yeah, especially in a bar.
Yeah. And especially the bartenders drinking behind, drinking behind the bar.
Hey, here's your Bud Light. It's $2.
Hey. Yep, put it right in your pocket.
Just in the pocket because it's 2:01 in the morning. Yep. But long short is, man, so would you say to somebody that is hungry as fuck to buy a restaurant, do it if they're hungry? But be wary of the fucking things. Like, I think that's the final answer we want. What is your final answer?
If you do it by yourself, do it. If you're doing it with a partner, make sure you and your partner are really good. Because I've seen partners that have been really good, really friends for years, and all of a sudden they get into business, and then they both go one way or the other way, and then all of a sudden their friendship's gone, the business goes bankrupt, and then they're no longer friends. Because they're good, you know, they're here, what about all these about? But as soon as they're black and white, as soon as the shit hits the fan, they can never agree on things, or they'd walk in, yeah, there's a breakdown, and that's hard.
So,
yeah. And it's easy to be a one-person show.
I could mention right now in our community.
That we can see that breakdown, yeah.
And that's, yeah, safety. But you could do it on your own, though.
Yeah. If you do it on your own, it's easy. Cause,
if you're passionate.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, if we have any person that doesn't know anything about where to start, where did you start? So if I wanted to buy a business today, who do I go and talk to?
If you know anybody that's a restaurant person, talk to them, a chef, a manager.
All right, so I was online. This is actually a really good question. So I was looking online.
I'm trying to do something new in my life, and I've done the whole YouTube.
Oh, so, I always go to YouTube.
And then I go to a lot of different places. So
I found a business online. It's posted on the Buy Biz Seller, whatever, you know, some website. And it's actually really a tempting bar and grill.
It is.
Let's just say we were interested in that. Where do we start? The bank or the owner?
I would go and look at it first.
Yeah.
Start talking to the owner.
Okay. That's the information that
I would start with the owner. And then before you even do that, actually go to the bank. Say, hey, how much money do I need? How much money can I get? Before you go to look anywhere, I would say, what would your financial, how much can you afford per month? How much can you afford to take, you know, on a loan? So I'd go to the bank first, then go and talk to that person. Because then if you go to the bank first, then you can go to that person, this person, other people. You know where your bank, you can say, I'm already been pre-approved for this much. Don't say it right off the bat.
Right.
Right.
So, but get pre-approved before you talk to the owner of a restaurant.
Yep.
I believe that's where one of our coworkers slipped up as they had a deal with the owner and the bank fell through. You know what I mean?
Yes, it fell through and she couldn't.
But get to
go to the bank, see what you can get. Don't go and say, I can get a $300,000 restaurant. And then you only can put down $10,000.
Talk to the bank. You know, talk to the bank. Go to the owner with the ammo.
Well, you talk to them first, then you go through, then you dick around the price. Don't show your aces before you have them.
Before you can see what you can...
We can get the bank, we can get the price for.
Yeah, you don't want to go in guns blazing like, I have this much money that I'll give you right now.
No.
But unless you really want that place and people are like bickering over it.
There's other bidders.
At least you know in your head what the ammo is. Yeah. You know, you got to know how many bullets you have.
Yes.
You don't go in gun blazing and say, I have this, but you know what you are approved of.
Yes.
So you would say bank first, owner then, second.
And talk. Then talk, see what we can do. Yep.
Perfect. I know a lot of people in my life that are aspiring to buy bars, food trucks, restaurants, just like myself, are very uneducated in that process.
And maybe if you don't want to buy the restaurant, maybe you can lease it from them. You see, lease to own kind of thing. You know, if you don't really want to spend that much money, but you're like, you know, instead of paying $1,000 a month, you can pay $1,000 for a loan, you can pay $700 for leasing it. Then you take over their stuff
and learn it,
and work it. Like if you like it,
see if you want to buy it.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, but you got to make sure the owner will allow you to rebrand it or redo what you want to do with it.
Gotcha.
Or they just want to keep it the stinky pig.
The stinky pig.
Yeah, I don't know.
The smelly nuts.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Smelly. And it's a peanut bar. It's just smelly nuts. But you want to buy it and release it and rebrand it. Like, you can't make it a Holly's bar if it's the smelly nuts. The owner doesn't agree to it. But no, that's actually good information, though. Like, what if you took over some other joint?
And I hope that anybody who listens to this also is inspired and tries to find different ways to make their dream be reality in the industry, and because actually, we don't have enough people that do aspire and are good at doing that.
And which is really cool too, but that's a nice little intro to what Tiny's trying to do with a new business plan, is to help people in this industry to find the right jobs.
Exactly,
and the right connections.
Which is amazing.
Well, also, and you know, like if this evolves to your vision.
Yep, it will.
You know, it can help you with it. Like insurance, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're confident. But insurance plans, like it's a very wide-ranged website idea for people that really love this industry. And he's on the fucking ball, and his brain is tense, and it's consumed his life, but it really is like a really genius concept.
I might be killing my restaurant from this new career.
Well, that's all right. I'm going to run the restaurant. All I'm doing is Italian beefs. That's all you get.
You know what? If you do a good Italian beefs, that's all you need.
I hope it's from 12
to 1. We can do Italian beef.
We do Italian beef.
So good.
Yeah, you do a great one. And I got the grill for you.
It's all we're only open from 12 to 1. That's all.
And all we do is Italian beef.
Yeah. We don't.
I mean, I would say that probably would work just fine.
Tiny's got this really awesome concept. I think it is the future of the fucking food industry. I do believe that everybody, if you still listen to us after, 20, 30 episodes.
Yep.
If you're still following us, we love the shit out of you. But drop us ideas on menus, food trucks, business plans, whatever.
Or even if there's a topic you guys want to hear about. Yeah. I mean, if there's something 100%. That you're curious about, just let us know. And just tell them, hey, bring Holly back.
Right?
Always bring Holly
Bring back. The voice back, the executive co-host.
No, for real. Like, yeah, we run out of topics sometimes, but because we're also busy building things. I think Tiny has a really, really cool brand that he's trying to build right now.
I think so,
and
too.
And it'll be a little bit of time before it kicks into fruition, but the concept is fucking amazing.
It could literally change how people find work in our industry.
100%. Yeah.
True. It's exciting, right?
It is.
You hear his fucking giggle, guys?
I know.
Like, it seriously could change the way that we find work in our industry. I wanted to be a bartender since I was like 18 years old. I am 30, and there has only been one person who has given me a chance in learning how to bartend. I am so thankful for that, because I actually love it so much. I've never bartended before this job, and I had never cooked for anyone in a restaurant before this job, and I do both of them at the same time.
Very good at it.
It's really, actually, that's a super interesting story too. I had been in the industry for a lot of years, and I would fucking do phone interviews with bars. No experience behind the bar. Fuck you.
Yep. Not a chance.
Deerfoot was a edit.
Edit.
My place of employment. The only people that gave me a fucking chance. Same as you. And you crush it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
After my hand was
healed. But this website was, what this website that we're trying to build is that idea of like people that are really passionate about the game, that really want to get into the business, the ins and outs and to help you do
it. It's a unique way of finding business, finding employees, employers finding employees.
And I feel like the vision of your business plan is it's to get those people in the door that couldn't get into the door.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get in the door. You couldn't get in the door.
Yep. There's a lot of people that will hire with no experience.
I know, absolutely.
But you don't know where to find them.
But then you get shitbag workers.
Where do you find them?
Then your burger's cooked inconsistently every day. You know, then your shit is fucking done.
Yep.
Your fucking drink sucks. But it's about matching the fucking employers to the employees. I ain't going into a 5-star joint with a fucking tie on and fucking selling $100 steaks because that's not my personality.
No.
You know what I mean? If I had that website to find me to
actually,
right
you'd probably, you could probably be in like Oregon, Seattle, somewhere in the East Coast doing that. The way, because I mean, you could be like the,
I could have a loudmouth asshole.
But the fine diner, the hipster fine dining or whatever kind of, like the new
hipster fine dining.
Adam kind of thing. I can totally see you know, selling $100 steaks, and
I could sell $100 steak,
and you'd be wearing flannel,
but I would
plaid or whatever.
But I would have to wear the flannel,
yeah,
hat. Like,
dude, I can totally see.
I can't be in the tie.
As long as the food's good, the service's good, I don't see why you can't do finer dining.
I definitely could, but I love being me. But what I love about your concept is that you're matching my personality to the establishment. You know what I mean?
Yep.
To me, that's genius. It's like Match.com. It's a dating website for fucking us. We have been losers.
For us trying
like,
to find
this industry
places.
We work the fucking hardest we ever work in our life. We fucking oftentimes work for low wages, but we love what we fucking do.
I've worked for low wages a lot of times. I like it and I like where I work.
Oh, yeah. It's the industry.
It's the industry.
Where you work and who you work for.
Yeah.
And that's why I always give a shout out to Two Sisters. Like, that was some ball-breaking ass shit. But guess what? If I want to dress like a train engineer, they were like, let it roll. As long as you're making money. You're selling. You know what I mean? Deerfoot, I come in a fucking unicorn costume.
You're making money.
But I'm making the money.
Yep.
You know, and if you love this industry, you got to match your employer to your employee. And I feel like that's the most difficult thing. You go to, I won't mention the places in town, but everywhere in the town. Okay? You look, they're bored. They don't have costumes on.
Nope.
They are not really having fun. They're hoping to take home $30 a night. But their service level sucks. Come to, what does Holly drop?
What do you mean? What do I drop?
Service. People
come
to see you, man.
You drop smiles. It's
man.
Not like, and that's the way that people should be. You should go to work and leave all your baggage at the door, because that's what a wonderful manager that I had in a very strange job told me, just to drop it at the door. If I couldn't, when I walk in the door, you take five and you leave all of that behind.
Yep.
When you come into work, you are at work, you're professional, and you are there for your customers. You're there to be happy with yourself and happy with them, and that is what makes you money.
You never started bartending really too hard before you got to where we work. This dude was trying to build a website to connect people like you that wanted to do it. This is the genius. I'm saying it.
All right. This one's getting long. My head be a two-parter. Or just one long one.
Nah, it could go
like
into two-parter.
Cut it off like 20 minutes ago.
I did.
Yeah, that was just us talking.
We're still rolling, though.
Are we?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, we need an outro.
Now we need an outro. Hey.
Slowly flowing.
Slowly flowing down the road.
Hopefully it doesn't
everybody
start
can do
snowing.
It. Oh, no. Everybody can do
guess
it.
Guess what? We got a guest MC showing up. Her name is Holly.
All right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's it. We're out. Recorded at the world headquarters of the Cook and Bartender with Adam and Tiny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like, comment, follow, spread the word. We appreciate it. cookandbartender@gmail.com, cookandbartender on Facebook, or cookbartender@Instagram. Thank you.